This week on the Push Roll Legs podcast, we talk about why minibands suck ass, what to post on your Instagram stories, and how we reply to comments on social media.
I've chopped this off at the front now. Jesus. 3, 2, 1. Well, Dan mucked up the intro, didn't he?
Hey guys, welcome to the Push Roll Legs podcast with myself, Dummy.
And me, Tom Hall. What's going on, bro?
Tom gets all the audio started on the podcast at some point, and it's literally going to be the first 2 seconds, and he's already...
Hell, like it. I do it normally, so it's like ding, ding, cut and paste, off it goes, like raw and unfiltered. That's one of the cool podcasts, isn't it? The unfiltered fitness podcast.
Is it still going?
I don't know, probably not.
We outlasted them. We outlasted everyone, mate.
I know. We're still in it, all these years later, doing
the same things over and over again. Only this time. I think these are now better because they involve our favourite coach, Carnivore Cam.
So, yeah, we're back on Coach Carnivore Cam Watch. Always, after man. You, everybody listened to the show over the weekend and Dan was immensely upset by the end. I literally replayed that over because I had to rewatch it of you just getting upset when I hadn't brought him up throughout this show. You were like, we haven't talked about Cam. I was like,
"Well, it's the only reason I turn up to these calls now." I don't talk to you, mate. I don't care about you anymore. I hate to tell you this, but there's only one reason I'm here.
I did something nice for Dan. Is I created him a Coach Carnivore Cam GIF and sticker, so which is fine.
I'm actually very happy about.
Does Dan know how to save those to his own phone?
I've saved it to my own phone. Don't you worry about that.
Do I have to send him a little screenshot of how to do that? Because
yeah.
I've also like branched out. I've used that one like his to if a client has done well that week, I do the little good. I'm gonna make
classic
some more,
stuff. I think classic stuff.
It's absolutely. You need to tell me which ones we need to clip up. It feels weird.
It's the time one. I think that's a good one. That's always a good one. And then
this would be like if you're like if you're waiting for a response, you'd be like,
yeah, exactly, yeah. And then you got the little like when he cuts like he goes done like that when he does his little like hand to his neck thing for like when things are done. Like that's a good one. It's just a little face, isn't it?
It's just his little face.
So he does that little little like pursed lip slightly. He looks like a fucking idiot. But I mean, look, he's getting all the good comments. All the people talking about how great he looks and. He looks really well for being on carnivore diet and all those things that you know, undoubtedly he's loving. He's getting all them all come his way. So I'm sure he's loving life. He's got 66,000 followers now. I mean, me and you are two of them. So, I mean, that tells you everything you need to know. It was more so fun and games over the Easter weekend because you knew he was going to get an Easter egg and you knew that he was going to be like,
hello, we go straight in here. Like,
don't have this.
First 15 minutes of the show, by the way, guys. So scroll forward if you're not concerned, or play along at home. Get your phone out and see what we're talking about.
Classic stuff.
What was the Easter Sunday full day of eating on a carnivore diet?
I mean, like I've said before, I cannot believe that he like is excited about going out to eat out in restaurants as a carnivore. It's like you're just going to a steak restaurant and paying too much for a piece of steak.
He had 4 boiled eggs to start his day with some salt. They tied him over. And then he went off to families for a big Easter feast. He did. Rib of beef and a leg of lamb.
Thriving.
And to be honest, he just showed like one of his like the family meals and like with Yorkshire pudding, veg, that would look really nice. And then they showed his one of just meat and butter.
It's the butter for me. You know, it's just like what is that doing there? Like why are you having butter with it?
After his like meat and his like his lamb and his meat and stuff, he had 2 glasses of raw milk to wash it down.
Imagine that stomach.
I like drinking milk, but like with cookies or like some chocolate at the end of the day. I'm that child that likes.
But imagine that's your treat though. That's his treat was his carnivore ice cream.
I know. It's good though.
I just love it. I can't get over it. I don't know how or why I'm so fascinated with him, but I am. I just am. Immensely. But yeah, anyway, he had a fun Easter by the looks of it. And it's the way that he must not buy the Easter egg packets. It must be someone else's that he just uses as the prop.
Oh yeah.
Surely he wouldn't buy it, would he?
But we want to know what he ate at Hawksmoor though. Hawksmoor is a popular steak establishment, I'm pretty sure, isn't it?
It is, mate. It's probably one of the only fucking places you can actually go to eat. But yeah, he had two. He had four eggs. He had four eggs and a steak at Hawksmoor. I mean, what a waste of money that was.
I know.
You got to have the chips. You got to have some carbs with it. You know, you got to have a full meal. You got to have a dessert. But no. Anyway, he's had enough airtime, hasn't he? We'll leave it there for Coach Carnival Can Watch. But safe to say, he's not getting any better, is he? Looking at the same.
He's absolutely.
Do you know what? It is definitely his face. Don't help him. Do you know, like, if you look like Brad Pitt, people might listen to him more. I think.
Oh yeah, everybody's listened to him. He's only. I wonder who he's following. 307 people.
Hopefully, me and you. Surely, me and you.
weirdly, like Charlie Hull. That's a weird one.
Yeah. Maybe likes golf.
Popular
maybe
golfer. Him. Maybe.
Carnivore.
Chris Pratt. Carnivore, of course.
Carnivore lifestyle. Carnivore.
Ashley Banjo. A bit of a dancer.
Selena Abu. Yeah, he likes the Eddie Abu crowd. You know it. You know it. He's all over it. Grant Cardone, because he's a businessman as well. So he knows what he's doing. Yeah, he knows what he's doing there. Didn't you know about that?
Anybody else? Because I was like, oh, I have a mutual. And it's I follow Charlie Hull as well.
That'll be it, mate.
I don't know the others.
No, I mean, he's not going to have an extensive follower list, is he, people? Maybe that's what's
not very interesting. So
yeah, in other news, I'm booked this Sunday to go to a Michelin-starred Sunday roast.
Oh, wow.
I think it's the only one.
In the world?
I want to say in the world, but I don't want to say that and it not be true. I'm pretty sure it is, though.
In Dubai?
In Dubai, yeah. Oh. Heston's restaurant. Okay. Heston's at the Atlantis Royal. Yeah, they do a Sunday roast. So I'm
The fat duck? Was the fat duck not Michelin starred?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if that was exclusively roast dinners, though.
No.
I think this is exclusively, it's a set menu. So that's why I think it is. Because it's a set menu. So yeah, that's what I'm doing on the weekend, which would be nice.
Yeah. Nice. Exciting for you.
Yeah, so I only brought it up because I was looking at all that lovely meat and thinking what you need with that is some roast potatoes. That's what I was thinking. I'm bringing it up.
I mean, we've ranked a roast dinner before. Didn't we rank the Christmas dinner? Like, people were like,
yeah, we did.
I got some heat off that. Absolutely not. I think
your food choices are always poor, so that's why.
They're absolutely fantastic. I put up that post. I put up a poll on the pizza thing from last week. We're in the minority.
No way.
Yeah, I think I had like, I don't know, 100 people on that fucking vote, and Domino's came up top, Papa John's second, Pizza Hut.
Oh, behave!
How insane is that?
I don't trust anyone. I just don't trust anyone these days. I just don't. Trust
I was
anyone.
Like, what is going on here? I was like, Jesus Christ. I don't normally...
I'm sorry. That's ridiculous. Well, I put up the poll, didn't I, about the breakfast foods, lunch foods, dinner foods, right? Who the fuck is choosing lunch foods for that?
Who? Yeah, correct.
Well, quite a few people. 20% of people, apparently.
Lunch foods? What is lunch food?
Sandwiches. Salads. Yeah. Who's
eating that? That's mental. It's dinner, surely. Breakfast for dinner.
It's got to be breakfast. It's got to be breakfast.
If you had to, yeah.
Everyone knows that's the winner. But yeah, there you go. For some reason.
And it's the most... the breakfast food is the most kind of... you can have it at any time as well. You can have breakfast and there's something called brunch. And I'm a big advocate for dinner. So...
Dinner, yeah. It's the way forward.
It's the way forward. Absolutely. You can have it at any opportunity. Salads. You're not having salad for breakfast. Might be a sandwich for breakfast.
No
but
one's content
that,
with a salad for dinner either, are they? I feel really content and ready for bed now. No.
And no one really, like, if you have a sandwich for dinner, you have a burger. Yeah, cool. But you have the sides and stuff and have a sandwich. And, like, nobody's having Thai green curry fucking in the morning, are they? Like,
no.
Can't have that.
And also, as well, the thing I like about breakfast is you've got different options because you've got hot, cold. You can have a light breakfast or a heavy breakfast. You could have meat based. You can have dairy based. You can have fruit based. You can have. There's just so many options. It's like, how can it not be breakfast? Like, how can it not be? I, for me, you see, with breakfast, I think the best breakfast is some sort of light pastry to start with your coffee. Light pastry.
We're talking the hotel buffet breakfasts,
Yeah,
and
like you got a
what order
little bit
you
of
go to.
pastry, a little bit of sweet pastry with your coffee, black coffee, sweet pastry. That's just a nice little start. Then you're going to go for your milky coffee with like you maybe your eggs on your toast, and that's when you bring in maybe a little bit of bacon, a little bit of sausage, maybe that kind of thing with that side of stuff. Maybe an avocado, maybe something like that. And then after that is when you're going to go for the, if you fancy it, if you've still got a bit of room, the pancake, the waffle, sweet Nutella or something like that, just to finish it if you've got the space for it. That's the order you do it in my opinion. And then I'll have no one else say anything different than that.
I
To be
concur.
honest, I think that's the way to go with it. But you just don't get up with any other meals. It's just like, well, what are you going to have for dinner? Well, you're just going to have burger and chips every single meal. No, it's too heavy for breakfast, isn't it? A dinner. I mean, I know what I've just described isn't exactly light, but you know what I mean. Like, if you wanted it to be
But
light,
you
you could
wanted it
be.
to be
But
light, you could
with
be.
dinner, you can't. It's just dinner. It's just, yeah. No,
You're not like
no, no,
chowing
no.
down a bit of like roasted veg. You're like,
Oh,
don't
no.
want this
A bit
for
of
dinner.
broccoli first thing in the morning. No,
I
no
mean,
chance.
if only someone on this podcast had done like chicken and fucking rice or like broccoli in the morning, and I've witnessed it. Was it mince? Fucking hell! Just and you were like grind harder, Tom. But all
Just
right,
grind out of
nah.
mate. Just how much do you want it, mate? How much do
I
you want it? I think
will.
that was more just
I
to,
will.
yeah. I think that was more just due to a lack of time. I think I just had to fucking
Noted.
make the same foods all the time. Yeah.
I was like, I will be going to the Nordic Bakery and having a cinnamon bun
Oh,
and
those are the days.
whatever that they had like good oatmeal in there. Sad that place
They
ended.
used to have some really good food in there, actually. A lot of their stuff was good. They used
A
to have this
lot was
potato
good.
thing, didn't they? That was nice. I don't know what I was calling that.
I just enjoyed cinnamon bun week. I
Trouble
don't
with a
think they're
K.
around anymore. Like the whole branch, all the
That's
branches.
mad. It was so good. Anyway,
Yeah.
other people who listen to this who weren't in London at that time will not know what we're talking about, so we won't bother.
I
It's like
guess
a
we should
one
really talk
dimension
about
topic.
we won't talk about Easter's pretty boring, chocolate, family
Yeah.
dramas and golf. So yeah.
Always the same.
Decide who had those in their I mean, if you probably checked our stories, I was not very prevalent. Yeah, I wasn't doing many stories, and Dan was just obviously he was Instagramming IG golfing the whole time, wasn't he? He was like, yeah, look at this.
Oh, I didn't really post much about it, did I actually? Did
No,
I
he
post
didn't. I
much
don't. I
about
think most of it. Most like I actually like kind of calmed myself down over Easter. I was like, you know what? I'm not gonna post that much. I did post, obviously, because
it? I think I just
why
don't
not
like taking photos of
against
myself. I just don't like taking pictures of myself. I just don't like, and
it?
I don't take much pictures. I don't take many pictures of the golf stuff because I think people are just a bit bored of it. I don't know if they really give a shit
What
about it, but
I mean.
yeah,
I'm
it
just
just
like,
gets a
man,
bit.
wish I was there. So,
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think people just go, oh, I wish I was there. Okay, brilliant. It's like I feel a bit harsh sometimes. So yeah, I try not
I
to
should.
do too much.
Yeah, so all good. I'm almost through all my Easter eggs. So my tactics, everybody can do this. My tactics for Easter eggs, obviously it's coming up post Easter, is just to eat as much of it as possible in a short amount of time. So it's just done. And
Yeah.
then I can't revisit it. Not like the people who are like, I'm just gonna have a little bit a day, make it last longer. I'm like, nah,
Doesn't
I'm
work.
just gonna eat everything. So it's out the house.
It doesn't work either, like that whole little bit every so often, because you just keep going back
Yeah.
for it. So you might as well just go your approach. At least you've
Just
accepted it.
absolutely smash for it. I think I've just got one little bit left today, which I'll see off. And then we're all good. Should be
Yeah.
wonderful.
I had, what did I get? I got Laura got me a extra thick one from M&S. Very nice it was.
Ooh, an extra
Caramel
thick one.
shortcake. It was like bits of chewy caramel and bits of shortcake and a thick egg. Yeah.
Nice.
Very good. But it's weird though, because it
Cheeky.
didn't come in any foil or plastic. So it was just an egg in a cardboard box. And you kind of
She wrote
realized that there
M&S on
wasn't.
it. Like.
And you just kind of realized there wasn't really much protection for the egg in it. Like, as in, like, air could still get in the box. Do you know? Like, it wasn't that tightly. I don't know. It's weird. I was just a bit kind of like, how do I feel about this? Like, I get it. We're trying to save the planet and plastic. And I was like, but would a bit of foil gone amiss? Like, you know, we can recycle foil. Like, don't know. It struck me a bit odd. But there you go. But it was
Enough.
nice, all the same, wasn't it?
I got an array. Galaxy.
Did you get any Nestlé? They're the worst.
No, I didn't get any Nestlé. I think people
Yeah,
were like
only peasants get
stance on that.
Nestlé. Fucking Nestlé Easter eggs. Oof.
Fucking stupid. Yeah, I did. Yeah, so what'd I
Awful.
have? I'd like an M&S one. That was orange though. Fucking weirdo. Don't know why I got that. I think it was like I think my sister had bought a few and it was like pick or whatever. And my dad was like, I don't really like the orange one. I was like, fuck, I'll take it then. It's fine.
Orange, mate. Orange gold.
Maltesers, always great. That was nice.
Yep.
The Galaxy one, obviously the same chocolate. So that's good. I think I had, I feel like I had something else as well. Can't remember. And then, yeah, I got some, I got given some Lola's cupcakes that were Easter editions. So that was nice. That was a little bit of change of pace. Quite enjoyed that because obviously it's just all chocolate. And then I was like, cupcakes. That's, yeah, fucking great. Easter style with, obviously they had like little Easter bits. And then when they got given to me, they'd already decorated them with little bunnies and stuff. So I was like, this is better instead of just having pile on chocolate. We're big Easter people. Well, we're big chocolate people in...
Your family are big any celebration, aren't they? Any get-together celebration.
It's a fucking excuse. That's what it is. It's a nice excuse to see each other and do something. But to be fair, like you can take this to my siblings. We've now actually made a pact of like, we won't buy each other any like Christmas presents going forward. And we would literally just book a restaurant that we all want to go to and just have a nice night out instead. Because that'll be the equivalent of what we'll probably spend on a fucking present that we don't really want anyway. So, and it's about making memories now, isn't it, Dan?
That's what life is.
And we'll all be disappointed when we're sitting around the tree going, oh, we haven't got as many presents this year. Fuck.
I'm sure you'll be okay, Tom. You're an adult. I'm sure you'll survive. I'm sure.
I'll be like, I want all the accessories for my bike. Don't do that. Please don't. Hate that. It's like people buying me golf accessories. But if you know the glove I have, like buy me some gloves, or like I don't even need tees. I still have, like, I've got a billion tees still from fucking Dubai that I go through. Like I just never had to buy tees. I just take a massive handful whatever golf course I play. I'm just like, yep, it's done.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, we should probably get on to topics when we're 15 minutes in. But yeah. Talk a little bit about mini bands because I wrote an email about it and I think somebody annoyed me, probably classic. My whole purpose of my Instagram is about annoying runners at the moment. So I'm going to lean into that.
When you say annoying runners, Tom, do you mean holding a mirror up to runners? That's probably what you mean, isn't it?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, you're just highlighting to them what they're doing wrong and they don't like it. That's probably more like what you're doing.
Highlighting what they're not, what how they could do something better. I always give what they should do better. I'm never, this is shit. I'm never that person.
You never do the Eddie Boo. You never do the Eddie
Boo. I don't go, this is stupid. I give the real alternative with like, I could put more science in there, but I'm not going to, that'd be fucking stupid. I do generally explain it in the fucking captions. But yeah, it's probably more annoy those people because there's a lot of runners out there, it turns out to be. Also a lot of idiots. A lot of idiots because obviously, yeah. People like responding to reels and stuff, but we'll talk about that. Mini bands, because I was just—I mean, you fall in the same category as me, mate. So you're fine. We'll talk about Instagram stories because Dan's email was interesting. I actually clicked it open.
Book.
Oh wow!
No, there you go.
Like, he got me. I was like, fuck. And I think it was also like the first one in my inbox that day as well.
Sure,
I was like,
sure. No, it wasn't that. It was.
I'd recently cleared my inbox, and then this. Filthy muggle just like went straight in. I was like, yeah. And then I would
look. Tom can't even give me any compliments. He can't even say.
I'm sorry. The email. Should I look at it? What? Who is it still addressed to? And it just comes up as to dickhead.
Does it?
Yeah. Because you changed the name.
Stay in that.
Still comes up. Anybody wants to feel real special, I am on Dan's email list because I'm nice and I'm nice that I'm on Dan. He's not mine, but I was also with Dillian. I just talk shit about him. I don't. But on the email list, he's gone into the email list, changed my name on my email, mainly because I signed up for his email list using his own name, I think. And he was like, what the fuck? And then it just says dickhead on it instead. So whenever you put the quotes and it says F name, front name, whatever, he's just put dickhead in there instead for me. So it's good that I'm on his contact lists as dickhead. Wonderful.
Quite rightly as well.
I might just change everybody's. All my clients, just like client, idiot client, moron, stuff like that. I should do that.
I'm just reading the comments you've had, mate, on your lovely video.
Oh, should we do that?
Yeah,
as always, which ones? I've had a few on like different ones, to be fair. We can flick through which. Basically, I've set about a task on. I changed my content, as probably people realized, probably around December, January time. And I was a lot more purposeful in it about what I'm doing message wise and opposing content more than anything else. But obviously, offering side. But obviously, it hasn't been a stream. My followers have definitely grown, steadily, essentially. But obviously, the likes and views are a lot higher. But what are we going on? Which one?
Oh, it's the 1.2 million one, the one big one.
So, yeah, which has been nice. Like, a lot of the reels have gone like 124K, 111. They're all around the tens at least. And then that one went to 1.2 million. And it was just fucking about bot squatting. Nothing really that sexy, if we're really honest. Yeah. But people get annoyed by it, right? In terms of comments.
I liked your one the other day. Did we talk about this the other day about lifting, people saying lifting slow? And you know, you did the one about you can lift fast. I don't know if you did it after the podcast or before. I can't remember what you did.
Yeah, that was interesting because, I did a deadlift video about lifting fast. It's like, you can lift fast because, it was just like nearly every single coach will tell you to lift slow and controlled. And it was just like, I was trying to drop that bar pretty hard on an RDL. It might not look very quick, but I thought it was quick. It's certainly quicker than what we normally do. There's a lot of people. Some people. I love the views, but you're not playing a sport against other humans. My whole caption was like, all right, in every single sport, you to achieve a perturbation, or like to beat someone, you probably have to do a change of direction or a acceleration, like short speed, every single thing, golf, football, fucking cycling. If you want to overtake someone, if you want to do anything, beat someone, you have to probably change your pace. And then this lad was like, but you're not playing sport against any other people. I was like, don't really understand what you mean, mate. He thought I was aiming at bodybuilding. And then Classy Dancer 57. 57th.
It's got funny names on there as well. It's always,
I always click on them and I'm like, oh, no, all right, it's fine. You just disagree. Excellent. Good
brilliant. There you go. Really insightful.
Spam account 0028. As a college athlete, this is the stupidest way I've ever seen someone do power training. There's a time for both, and there's also a time for neither. I mean, he said everything but nothing there, hasn't he, really? And then he wrote, alternating phases negates the effects gained from previous mesocycles. Doesn't take into account in preseason, preseason and off-season. Doesn't take into account that different sports have different needs. Classic example of a cookie cutter program for college S&C athletes. That was only because I was like this like particular maneuver of like rapid eccentrics into just a thing is literally taken from a very popular guy called Cal Dietz, who invented triphasic training. Probably one of the best collegiate coaches ever been, but it's all right. Why would I cite my sources? And then obviously I told him that. And I was like, I think you've taken a 3-second clip and read a little bit too far into it. And it's just like,
literally,
it's
a good example though for anyone who's scared of putting out content or saying what you think or what you like. Again, Tom knows his shit with this stuff, right? And I agree with the points he's made wholeheartedly. You're always gonna get some moron. You're always gonna get disagree. Like you could be the most correct person in the world. You're gonna get someone fight you over it, just because that's the way that people are programmed on the internet, is to just argue. And if they met you in the street and you actually had an argument or debate with them, you'd win hands down, because they're just stupid. They just disagree, and for the sake of it, like that guy just literally writes disagree. Great. Okay, mate, you disagree then. Where are your athletes? Where are your people you're working with? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, you just go, okay, it's always someone like that, do you know? And it's just funny because you actually want that. Like, Tom's videos, the reason they've gone as far as they have is because people have commented and they've said that stupid shit.
Yeah.
It's like what's caused them to go further. So it's not always a bad thing from that point of view either. I think that's the thing people just get really worried about. It's a bad thing. It's like, could actually make your videos go further. Like Cam, as a great example. Our favorite guy.
Yeah, that's the thing. I was just like, because there's a bunch of them. Like, obviously, I replied to them all, like, kind of like sassily now. I used to be like really, really careful.
I would 100% just be like, going in and so that they kind of bite back. I would 100% want
to
bite back.
I used to be like, yeah, oh, really, thanks for the comment, and a little bit polite. I'm like, fuck it now. I don't give a shit. Like, yeah. I'm a Santa because there's nothing I'm ever going to put up like on some of this shit that is wrong. Like, yeah. I know that. It's all going to be, it's like all fucking stuff though. Because guess what, guys? Like, I literally video myself. If I've got like some training and stuff, I will video myself just out of like habitual stuff. Because I know I move well. I know I'm going to do something correct. And it's fucking easy content. And I'm able to make those posts that are going to be annoying to other people. But I also, it's the whole kind of like what you were talking about, like your journey kind of shit. Like, I practice what I preach. I know what I'm training for. I train like I train my athletes because that is how I believe people should be training. And then people are like, oh, I want to do that. I've had like people literally send me my own reel and gone, I want to do stuff like this. And I'm like,
yeah,
correct. Like, bang on. That's exactly why it's there. And then you get people who fall on either side. And guess what? Those people are making the reach higher. But yeah, there's also some of my followers little jump in on there, be like, fucking love this. Like, yeah, absolutely. And then like the saves and stuff will click on. Then you're like, okay, cool. And they're like, yeah, I'm going to implement this tomorrow, Tom. Awesome. Totally agree. And I'm like, cool. You've agreed as well. And you've felt the urge to fucking comment on it as well, because you've seen other people comment on it. So it's always fun. I do like I'm quite enjoying getting the angry comments. I used to be like, take it to heart so much.
Yeah.
And I think people should realize that. Like, both me and you used to all the time.
Yeah,
just be like, it used to affect us, and I'd be like, oh shit, what am I gonna respond? It's like totally beyond that. I'll be like, oh, respond to
I think there's a part of it though as well, where now it is a little bit more commonplace, people just to be fucking annoying on Instagram. Like, I think before it was a bit more of a, because the reach was a bit higher and things like that, it was always a bit of, oh, who might see it, who might watch it. And you know, I think we just know more about social media now a little bit as well. I'd say a little bit of that. But yeah, you're right. Like, you welcome it now. You almost want people to, like me. It's funny enough, actually, me and Michael just started running some ads. We've started working with ad agency over here.
Yeah,
just to try and put out some of our content to a different audience, and you know, paid reach and stuff is obviously going to be beneficial to some degree. We're testing it out anyway. We're going to give it a good period of time testing it. And it's funny because I know we're going to get people commenting on the reels, being like, "Oh, you're a fucking idiot." You're doing it. It's like, yeah, keep like just. Makes people think the ad's good, so great, keep going, mate. And you know what we're like, we'll be sassy and put banter in there and all that sort of stuff. Like, it's not going to be, you know, anything too crazy. It's just you almost welcome it now because it gives you the opportunity to show how clever you are, how clever you can be. It is interesting for sure. Seeing the way people react and respond online, I think is funny. Because some people are just, I say horrible, but they just do it out of spite. They literally just do it for that reason. They're not actually doing it because they actually care about the answer. They're just doing it just to be annoying. Like, that's
I enjoyed the one that got is like well over like a million. It's like 1.2 now, and it's just like the comments on it. Most of the comments actually were about like safety, of like people thinking like, because if they read the caption, I purposely like turned that bench that way because it's on a decline, and why I'm doing it. And they were like, oh, you're gonna cut your head off, or like, I'm sorry, I'm not squatting a weight that I find hard. And I thought that was kind of
just because you find 100 kilos hard doesn't mean
like this isn't I was just like, or you could hit depth and get and I was like, I think I just said about growing some legs. Or you can actually hit depth. I was like,
Did you actually read the caption that I put?
Literally every single time I'm like, read the caption before. Like,
yeah,
literally says it on the video to check the caption why I'm doing this. So
and it's painful, and it's just like, that's like the world we live in. Yeah, isn't it? It's just they watch it for 2 seconds and go, oh my god, that's not a squat. Well, yeah, no shit, Sherlock. But just said in the fucking caption.
I liked the Dark Diggler. A Bosu ball works great. Obviously, I don't know why I had a good dig at Bosu balls in this caption, but I did. Natural point. I know, obviously, I really wanted to just write back. I was like, obviously, you have like a balanced like symbol as your thing. Do no harm, take no shit kind of thing. And I was like, of course you do. That's exactly who uses Bosu balls. I was just like, that's absolutely fine. You're not coming back to this. You're not going to follow me. So you're all good. Crack on.
Quite fun.
But yeah, I think it's just it was interesting. Just obviously, like, it's yeah, just the direction of content, and you just lean into, I guess, what you do well. And I move well, I say that, and then I can piss people off, so
it's fine. It's just being being opinionated, but in the right way. Of you almost want to bait this out of people. Like with Tommy, knows what he's doing. He knows he's putting up a half squat or a box squat, and he said, you know, runners, try growing your legs, and it's like a movement that's going to get some controversy or an opinion. And I think coaches can learn a lot from it in terms of like putting out your content in a way that's a bit different to everyone else. Because I mean, I speak to coaches all the time about this, right? Every week on check-ins, I'm talking about how they can do these things and putting their opinion across. And everything that you post online, you should be posting it, whether it's your own behind the scenes of what you're doing in your daily life, whether it's your own thing, like I did about the breakfast, lunch and dinner thing. Like it's, people want to know your view of it. Give people an opportunity to express their opinions, express what they would choose. And then they want to know what you would choose. And then you can have a laugh and a joke about it, or you can get angry about it and have comments, whatever. But that is exactly what social media is about. It's about putting your opinion out there, because there's enough facts in the world. Like, and coaches say this all the time about their, you know, diets of people. They say, oh, look, you know, if you want to know, you know, they get the best diet plan or training plan, just go on Google and type it in. There's enough information out there. People want to know that you understand them, you get them, but they want to know that they align with you and your opinions. And coaches are so afraid of before, like you just said there, we used to be scared of posting stuff and getting a comment because we were posting what we would consider facts. And because at the time it was getting in its infancy, people weren't really posting many opinions. It was just like, do this exercise and you're going to get bigger chest because it works this chest fiber in this way and you're going to get stronger.
Yeah, okay, exactly.
Great. And it was like, if someone argued with you, worried, because you're like, oh, is the science wrong or the facts wrong? But now, because it's not, social media is not like that. It's a personal branding thing. It's about your opinions, your views, your journey, what you're up to. And I had this chat earlier with a coach, and it's relevant to any coaches listening to this. Within your marketing, you can be quite abrasive. And you can also touch on pain points. You can be quite harsh. So, for example, you could write a caption and say things like, for example, you know, your trouser waistband cutting into your belly. You feel awful. You feel like shit. You feel like you look like a bag of crap. It's not a nice feeling to have, blah, 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 right? And it can be quite personal and quite like aggressive almost, in terms of if you write the caption in a way where you're digging on pain points and you kind of like calling people out on it. But if you were to tell a story and say, I was sat there at my computer and my waistband was digging into my belly. It was hurting. It was unbearable. And these are my favorite jeans and I didn't want to get rid of them, but I just felt so much pain wearing them. It was at that point I knew I had to start losing weight. I knew I had to start doing stuff. No one can have a go at you because that is how you felt, if that's how you felt, right? And it's a way that you can shape your opinions and your journey to a certain degree. And like you just said there about, you know, you're relating it back to what you're good at. You move well on this sort of stuff, right? This is where I'm going with this, is that you have to relate stuff back to your journey and your opinion based on what you've done, because people can't really attack you on how you were feeling, how you did things and how you were successful, because you can go, well, that's how I did it. And that's why we're seeing some of the rise in some of these people, like I say, like Eddie Boo, blah, 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 and all those things, is that they're like, well, it worked for me. And look at how many people are jumping on it. Look at how many people are jumping on it. Yes, you've got to have some science, some evidence, some research and all those things, because you're smart, because you're listening to this podcast, because you're like us, you know these things, right? But on social media, you have to almost say things like Tom's just said and go, yeah, but the nuance and the context is in the caption. But you make the point a little bit like knowing that people might just go, oh, what about this, what about that? It's playing the game a little bit. Yeah, exactly.
If you flick through those reels, they're all done in a very similar fucking pattern. It's like, is this the best way to do something on the machine? It's like, your core training is shit. Have you tried anything like this? It'll be like, yeah. It's like, it doesn't have to be like, and it's like, your core training doesn't have to be planks and dead bugs and sit-ups.
Yeah.
So it could be this. It's like, yeah, maybe runners, put the BOSU ball away. Do this.
Exactly.
It's all that kind of shit where they're like, actually, yeah, why do I need to put the BOSU ball away? So yeah, and it was like, oh, look, this might actually make you cause some fucking legs, like grow some legs, this kind of thing. So it's all that kind of like, yeah, you know, they get annoyed by it, or you're going to be like, you're going to click on it and be like, or just view it a couple of times and be like, oh, what's he on about? Like, that's the idea of like, because obviously the replays on those kind of reels are purposeful. So it looks like it pumps a little bit more. So, but yeah, very odd. But yeah,
you just got to play the game. You just got to play the game with it. Like, see those opinions and how you're wording it and how you're getting your point across.
Like we've always said about value reels and stuff, like these are not value whatsoever. And I said that on the last show, is that I'm just going after some reach for a month and just to see see what would happen. And then obviously I said to Dan before the show, it's like, obviously I look at the insights of all of this shit just to see what's happening. And it was really weird. Yeah. On the last one I posted, so it's just about to hit like 23,000 views, right? And the accounts reached, just being really honest on this, is like 11,000, but over 10,500 are non-followers.
Yeah.
Like only 322, that's 10% of my audience have seen it. It's fucking nothing. Like that's madness if you feel, but, and then over 10,000 fucking people have seen it elsewhere, which it feels weird. And obviously I've not had fucking 10,000 new followers, but
yeah.
Crazy, really man. Weird how like Instagram pushes certain things. And it's definitely, that's a different change that I've seen from recently. And it's definitely been a little bit better in terms of like the insights towards normal followers, but still, yeah, it's still super high. Like on some of those reels, I'll only get nowhere near like 50% my actual audience in terms of followers. Yeah. It's all like non-followers. It's really odd, but which kind of skews straight into what you were talking about in terms of, should I or should I not put one of those successful reels on my Instagram stories?
No, shouldn't. This has been a long-standing thing that we've been talking with our coaches about all the time. And we did a YouTube video on it, and that was from today. So if you want to go watch that, check it out. That's something about on YouTube. But it's this whole concept with your Instagram stories of like, me and Mike understand what works well on Instagram stories because we use them quite a lot. And a lot of other mentors don't use them. They just don't use them properly. They don't use them to try and get clients. So they don't really know what's going on. They're not really looking at the data because they're probably getting someone else to fucking do it for them, no doubt, as well. But one of the things that kills your reach on your stories more than anything is reposting either a feed post or a post you've been tagged in or a story you've been tagged in and reposting that on your own story. It just absolutely annihilates the amount of people that see your posts because no one wants to see it. Like, it's not what Instagram stories are there for. Instagram stories are there to show organic, native, behind-the-scenes content that you're doing in the moment there and then. And I see it a lot. A lot of coaches, they reshare their client who's tagged their coach and RPB lift in the gym, and then you just repost it, and that's it. Your viewers just don't give a shit. Like, I'm not watching your story to see you repost a story of someone else of your clients who just hit squat PB. I don't care. I just don't care about it. I'm there to watch you and your behind the scenes. Now, do I want to see you working with clients behind the scenes? Yes. Do I want to see clients getting results? Yes. I want to see it in the right way. I think it's such a lazy thing for coaches to do, to just repost a story and repost it. And funny enough, literally as we say this, I got tagged in one. A guy that I worked with recently just stopped. He's literally just tagged me in a story. And he's very, very clever. He's reposted a story on his story of a client, and he put, Dan Meek says, if you're a coach, you shouldn't repost your clients because no one's interested. Who wouldn't want to watch deadlifts while listening to Star Wars? Basically, one of his clients PB'd on deadlifts and listened to Star Wars, right? 50 likes on this story, and I'll send him a picture of my nutsack. So now what he's done there, and then he texts me afterwards going, sorry, mate, just playing the Instagram game. And he's like, he's going to get people like that story because of what he said on it, right? And he said, if you like this, I'll send a picture of my nutsack, blah, 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 right? So again, he's been very smart in the way he's done it. Obviously, like, you know, he will get engagement on that story. We might not get as much as he could have done because he reposted the story. But anyway, the point is that it's playing a game with Instagram and with your stories. And too many coaches just repost all their clients lifting or their selfie of them in the gym feeling good. Oh, it's like, no one cares. Like, genuinely, no one gives a shit about that stuff. And the whole thing about Instagram stories is it should be like the behind the scenes, like Netflix style behind the scenes Man City, Arsenal documentary. That's what it should be like. It should be that. And I always use this example with coaches, right? If Cristiano Ronaldo, right, or your favorite athlete, insert favorite athlete, right, was on Instagram and their Instagram stories, you had two options. You know, you could watch one lot of Instagram stories that was them showing you their daily life, behind the scenes, the car they drive, the house they live in, what they watch on TV, how they feed their kids, what they get up to, what they watch at the cinema, all that sort of shit, right? Or they had Instagram stories of posts of them scoring goals reposted every single day. Which one would you watch? Right, exactly. You wouldn't watch them scoring more goals because you watch that all the time. You know that's what they do. You know that they're good at that. Okay, great. I want to get to know them as a human and them as a person. That's the bit that excites me, that's different, that's unique, that is making them more human, making them seem relatable, making them seem all these things. Versus if Cristiano Ronaldo just reposted videos of him scoring goals, I don't follow him. I don't know what he does, but I wouldn't watch it. I don't want to see that. That's not what I'm there for. Whereas a lot of coaches do the opposite. Do the same thing as that. They just repost their clients in the gym. Don't give a fuck. I don't care. I'm not following you for that. Don't want to see it. And it's remembering how you as a coach use Instagram. Because when you go on someone's story and they repost those stories, you skip past them real quick. You don't sit and watch them.
Yeah.
You don't. And coaches have got this really weird thing where they can't work out that what they should be posting on Instagram is fundamentally just the same sorts of things that they consume on Instagram, that they enjoy consuming. Coaches I know who are on Instagram love watching comedy pages, meme pages, funny people, athlete pages that are behind the scenes, their hobbies, their interests. Cool. What do you think you need to post more of on your Instagram stories for other people who are on the same platform doing the same sort of thing? Answers itself. It's just thinking logically about it. That's all it is. It's just thinking logically. How do I use Instagram? How can I replicate that and do the same sort of thing for my audience who are watching me?
Yeah.
Mental.
Mental, mate. Yeah. And it's definitely like you 100% were seen on my stuff. I kind of like every now and again, I don't know. I don't really repost that. If there's something like a client video or stuff like that, it's actually something I picked up from Mike, is like, well, I'm probably going to look at it on my laptop at some point. I'm going to take a picture of my laptop with that post on, because mm-hmm. it's like organic straight from Instagram. And then that's going to be a kind of a social proofing kind of thing. If you want to show that work that's really good, it'll be a case of like, all right, here's a picture of me looking at that piece of content and going, look, fucking this person's smashing it. But I don't have to play around with the tags. And it's like, it's cool. I think there's that whole thing. It's like, oh, my clients tagged me. I want to share their work because, like, you're like, I just say, well done. Fuck me. Go in there, fucking DMs, literally, and say, good
reply
job.
To them, saying, amazing like, work.
Yeah, amazing stuff. Work. Good job. Love this.
And because the comeback I get from coaches is, oh, but it's good social proof. I'm like, no. It's good because they've posted you and tagged you on their story already. Yes, job done.
That's
job done.
Yeah.
They've told people that they're working with
it's
you.
It's cool.
Your audience know that you work with clients. They don't need to see them, you know.
And hopefully that you know that person's there because they've got a testimonial somewhere that they were able to find, and it's cool. And you could literally just write on there, like, be like, oh, you could do your own little story about what your clients have done that day. It's absolutely fine. You can make a fucking shit up if you really want to, but it's just like, all right, talk about it. I'll be like,
just make it different and engaging as well. Like, just add something different to it. Like, I don't know. I just think the coaches are so like one dimensional. Like, and everyone says, oh, how do I put my opinion across it? And every story I post is my opinion. So today I was at the gym. I didn't just post a picture of me at the gym. I posted a picture of me with the weights saying one good thing about Mike not being here is I don't have to unload the weights because he's too weak and he can't lift as much as me, right? Obviously, that's incorrect, but it's funny. A few people liked it. People laughed at it. Blah, blah, blah. Right, cool. I never just post what I'm doing. When I'm eating dinner, I don't just post my dinner. I post it saying, because we had like halloumi wraps instead of meat. And I was like, I'm cooking something that I can't die
for. But we know
today.
It's a trait, right? It's like if Laura's cooking, Dan's going to make a joke about it. It's fine.
Yeah, it's just it's just doing the daily things that you do, but putting a little twist on it that makes it unique and different. Like, it is just, I know we joke about Coach Carnivore Cam, but like, I know listeners that have messaged me talking more about Cam that I didn't even know listened. Yeah. But now message me about that.
Yeah.
Never message me again. I've got a question for the podcast. It's really in-depth about nutritional coaching. Never. Secondly, send me Coach Carnivore Cam video. Have you seen this one? Brilliant. Another one the other day was like, he's taking down that that egg white rice video. I was like, thanks. I don't actually care, but thanks. Like, it's cool. Like, because we've got this like bond about how we follow this guy who's a fucking lunatic, right? It's those things that connect you to people, not like your ability to coach or like how good at fitness you are. It's like people kind of know that. They should know that.
From following you and the results that you got, it should be fine.
But also, like, if I land on Tom's page, right, my decision about whether to follow him or not is based on his bio, right? If I want to know more from Tom, I will know more from Tom and I will follow him because of what he's written in there. Stopping sports athletes, train like bodybuilders. So if I'm someone who wants to train more like an athlete, and it's like a bodybuilder, and it wants them to perform like Jedi's, High Rocks, running, whatever. If I'm that person, I want that, and I follow him, I know that's what I'm going to get. I know that. Now I'm just going, do I like Tom enough now to see if he's good at what he does? And he presents himself well enough. Well, he doesn't. Talks well enough and doesn't. Has good results, he doesn't. But, you know, and then you go on his page and you go, right, okay, cool. All his results are at the top there. All these people that have, okay, brilliant. I can watch their videos. I can see he's training in the gym. I can see these things that are different. Nothing makes me more bored than core training dish now. Cool. I like the way he talks about that. Then they'll start following him. Then they'll start watching his stories. Then they'll start getting to know him. It's thinking about it that way rather than just this boring, oh, yeah, you got me in calorie deficit, so lose weight. Oh, okay, mate. Like, Tom doesn't just go, you got to lift heavy things to get strong. Because that's what you're doing by saying calorie deficit all the time about fat loss. It just winds me up. Like, it rewinds me up. Like, you will not get anywhere saying that sort of shit, right? So it's then a case of, well, what separates you? Well, everything that makes you different and unique, which is your life. Turn a bit ranty, isn't there, it? But, you know, get my point.
But there's loads of people that are doing, like, well, obviously, what we would do or whatever. And it's just like, yeah, people are getting some results and stuff. But it's just like, okay, people are going to go on there because of, like, all right, I'm very purposeful. I don't really, I post non-physique based things. It's just like, all right, we're gonna talk, like, all of my client stories, I got good co-hosts on that because it was just a different way of showing, like, good results and stuff like that. Because it was like, it's a little bit more nuanced and stuff like that. Instead of going, this is him there to here. It's like, great, cool. Let's really tell a story. I was like, I'm gonna tell a story. That's much more fun. Anyway, should we cover one last topic? Of just annoys me because it falls into the, actually it's been more because I've with that exact bio, like stopping sports athletes training like bodybuilders, but it's also going the other way for me is people who are bodybuilders are going, I want to start training like athletes, and it's like the inverse thing. So I've taken on, I want to say 5 or 6 over the last couple of months of like former physique athletes that are now want to train like this, and there's been a general theme of, even though most of these are females, even though one of the categories that they are 100% like scored, marked, whatever on is their fucking glutes, right? The lack of being able to know about internal rotation of the hip and how it affects your, like, your glute is mind-boggling to me. And I have no idea why. Like, it's blows my mind of like, all right, split squats into, I get people, so I wrote an email today. If anybody's on my email list, you've seen it. I talk about other people's good work. And this lab was talking about internal rotation of the hip and how it affects like glute med and it wraps around your hip because your pelvis is rotating that way. And internal rotation is a good thing. But there's also a case of this like obsession with getting external rotation of the hip because it will contract the glute. Yet internal rotation will stretch the glute. And if we contract it in the stretch-based position, guess what, how much tension's going to be there? Fucking a lot. And it's baffled me. And I've changed a lot of people's foot positions. And they're like, yeah, really fuck. Like on split squats, I've changed a lot of people's foot positions recently and asked them to do something with their pelvis. And they're like, I've never felt my glute like that. I'm like, fucking physique athlete. How have you known? What? I don't understand. Who's been training you? I'm like, I have a master's degree in biomechanics. Cool. But I don't think I use it to my fucking like utilization. This is like, what you should be able to know about mechanics of like fucking hip. But this leads me into like one of the biggest things I start to get people to move is like doing these coil things and like getting their hips moving, waking up sleepy glute syndrome, which runners get diagnosed with every fucking week. And my againstness, opposition probably instead of againstness of fucking mini bands and like activation prep, and we both used to do it, like on the other side of it, I'm like, actually, if you're doing activation work, there's something fundamentally wrong with the way you're doing the exercise that you're activating for. You're probably doing that incorrectly, from my opinion, or there's something that you're not doing that you probably need to do to make sure that's as active as possible. And usually it's a case of, all right, that split squat, maybe I can coil up and get internal rotation so my hip works a little bit better and my like adductor is like switched on. Therefore, I probably don't need to do 10,000 fucking crab walks before I warm up for my squats. Probably not. I don't always need to band it as much as possible. Band and squat, I'm kind of happy with that. Play around with external rotation. kind of happy with that. But it's the crab walks and the fucking kickbacks, all these weird movements that aren't the movement that we're about to do that annoy me. Mm. I get that I do lunge patterns and skip patterns, but that's for a different kind of velocity-based thing. And I'm trying to wake up different sarcomeres. It's all the stuff that's like, I'm going to fucking butcher the shit out of this, do 25 reps, and then I'm going to feel it. Like, yeah, even 25 reps of fucking anything, you're going to feel it. I get.
Yeah.
It's wound me up recently because I was just like, well, what do you do with your miniband? Fuck it, get rid of that. Stop putting.
But it's the thing with minibands, it's just that it's easier, right? It's easier to do that. Well, no, but I mean, as in, like, for a coach to work with someone, it's easier for them to just, rather than trying to explain all the nuance and understand the nuance and educate themselves with all the things you just talked about, they'll just go, I'll just put a band on. My coach told me to do it and I felt it, so just do that. That is what you're dealing with in the bodybuilding world, is a lot of, again, much in the same way in sport world and we're from, we've always done it like this. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So everyone does it.
I'm activated. I'm like,
yeah, and the people, you know, people who actually pioneer this stuff aren't going to work with those level of people. They're just not going to, because no bodybuilder is going to afford to pay for the level of education that's needed. They're just not going to do it, because they'll just say, well, it works. It works.
Yeah,
you know?
I can feel it. Yeah, you can. I guess what I'm saying is, it's not, the miniband stuff isn't wrong, but it's just a bit of a waste of time what you could be doing.
It's lazy.
I'm just like, it's just lazy. It's something just better. Like, if there is better things to do, or like more time efficient stuff to do, and they're going to get better results. And I'm just like, it's fine. But they'll be like, all right, if you're going to use a miniband and you're obsessed with it, all right, put it over your fucking laces, put it over your feet, at the most distal part of where your fucking joint is, because that's where the effort is. Don't put it right next to you, like put it above your knee. What you do? Don't understand. Yeah. If you're doing like crab walks and stuff like that, that's bonkers to me. Also forces you into a little bit of shock, internal rotation, which is the key point I was making about the fucking glute. If you wanted to feel it, instead of, you're going to externally rotate if you put it over your knee, you're going to internally rotate if you put it over your foot, because that's just what happens. And you're going to feel your glute more, 1,000%. It's like with hip thrust as well. People like put their feet out, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Put them in. I bet you feel it more. Bet you. 100%. Yeah. Bet you do. Put it so like your second toe is pointing forward, so your inner toe just slightly points in. Guarantee it. You'll be like, oh shit, this hurts. Like, yeah, cool, still band it, but start an internal rotation, your glutes a little bit more stretched, and then force it out. Cool. Mm. Yeah. Baffling, isn't it?
Well, I'm a catch lesson. There you go. 101.
There you go. They'll be like, people, no, it's just wrong. Well, that's fine.
Yeah, disagree.
Disagree. Sorry.
About what in particular? Disagree.
Dancer Nick, or whatever his name is.
About what bit, though? That's kind of what I was getting at. Really.
Yeah, I don't know. Disagree. I like those.
Disagree.
It's just, I can't do anything with that comment. I'm like, cool. Thanks. That's one of the things I talk about with like some of the mentor guys, was like when they, like, I guess it's post, when we talk about like posting or like talking about the social part of social media, it's like, maybe you need to stick around and talk to people a little bit, like instead of just walking into a room and going, disagree, and then walking out again.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. That's, imagine doing that for your posting. It's like calorie deficit, and then you'd leave. That's exactly what you do, like when you're posting, literally, just running away.
literally what coaches are doing all the time.
It's like, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's right. They'll sign up for coaching with you, Dan. So that's what's going to happen. So
you have to wait a little while, mate. You have to wait till June or July.
And then you've got all of this low-hanging fruit that you can just tell them, and they're like, it's magic.
Yeah, oh my God, Dan's incredible. Yeah, I am. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
It's all right. It's fine. Yeah, wonderful. All right, good ranty episode, mate.
Always good.
It was needed, wasn't it? Right. Needed. Any other biz?
Not from me, mate. No, we're all good. Just cracking on. Birthday tomorrow, isn't it? Birthday tomorrow.
Well, it's your birthday?
When it comes out, tomorrow.
Why have I not got this in my calendar?
I'm getting old, mate. I didn't publicise it that much, to be fair.
No, you don't, do you?
I'm not bothered about birthdays. I'm just getting old now. I'm going to get to 35.
47?
Yeah, hairline's 47. Age 35. So.
Age 35. Jesus.
Old, that is getting old now, isn't it? That.
So pretty much like, are we almost midlife crisis? What's he going to buy? I feel like there's going to be a Porsche in his like in his drive then when I come out.
No. Golf or... trip to the Masters. That's what it'll be. Golf trip because it's always around the April time, isn't it? So I'm like, that's what I'm thinking. It's like plan a trip, maybe trip. for next year. I think that actually needs to be planned ahead of time because it's around Easter holiday break. I could, you know, I can make it work. Invite my mate Tom who plays golf. He'll come probably. You know.
I'll come. I mean, you can pay for me, but I'll come. Yeah, it's
fine. Yeah, yeah.
You'll be like,
that's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking.
Try and play. I'll be like, probably not.
Bring
probably
your clubs. Never know.
Bring clubs. That's like the whole thing when we used to like be at football when we were younger. If you ever went to a match, we're like, there might be a day where they're like, oh yeah, Tom will get on. Yeah. They might need me. They might need me. Come full kit. Like they might need me today. You never know. Like,
you never know.
Who knows? Probably not happening. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.
See you later.